You are listening a podcast from the World Stroke Academy, the educational platform of the World Stroke Organization.
On the occasion of International Women's Day, we at the World Stroke Academy want to celebrate the achievements and careers of women in stroke and highlight female leadership. We interviewed outstanding women who were nominated by WSO board members for their important contributions to the field of stroke.
This is the sixth episode of the hashtag Women in Stroke Initiative podcast.
I'm Alina Schwarz, Executive Manager of the World Stroke Academy, and I'm here today with Amy Edmonds. Hi, Amy. Amy Edmonds leveraged findings from her graduate studies to launch Young Stroke, a non-profit patient advocacy organization in 2005 after previously experiencing cryptogenic stroke. Two key collaborations propelled her work. First, Edmonds coordinated the first international scientific conference to address Young Stroke in conjunction with Mayo Clinic in 2015. Secondly, she co-authored the Young Stroke Questionnaire as a clinical assessment tool in collaboration with the University of South Carolina in 2019. Amy's research earned her awards from the National Institute of Neurological Disorders and Stroke, as well as the National Institute for Minority Health and Disparities. In 2018, she was re-elected by international peers to the WSO Board of Directors to represent stroke support organizations. In the same year, she was inducted as a fellow of the WSO.
Dear Amy, first of all, congratulations on a nomination by the WSO board members. It's very nice to have you with us today.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
Amy, you've worked tirelessly over the last two decades to advocate for stroke survivors. And many say that you've changed how stroke is viewed around the world. Could you tell our listeners how you did become interested in stroke advocacy?
My interest in stroke advocacy is sparked by my own personal experience of stroke from 2002. And as a young woman, at that time, there were very few models of stroke in young adults for me to draw upon. And as I searched for a support group to try to relate to peers in a similar circumstance, I was really frustrated by the lack of resources that were available to me. I was attending stroke support group meetings and finding very few people who looked like myself. And so I initially volunteered with the American Heart Association, and they were very instrumental in helping me to hone my advocacy skills. And with my background as a public speaker, I very quickly evolved as an invited speaker for conferences and also to lobby legislatively. And that's really what got me going.
So in your daily work, what inspires you?
I am so inspired by the broad conversations that I have with fellow stroke survivors about their own unmet needs regarding financial planning or parenting or barriers to rehabilitation. And on a nearly daily basis, you know, there is a connection with someone who helps to clarify, you know, yet one more issue that we need, you know, to bring attention to.
What have been major challenges in your career as CEO of Young Stroke and also as stroke advocate?
As a trendsetting organization that was launched back in 2005, being first has both its challenges and rewards. And one of the challenges of being the trendsetter, we were the first patient advocacy organization exclusively devoted to addressing the needs of young stroke survivors and their caregivers. But the burden of being first was that there was no embracing of the vernacular of young stroke in the grantor community. So it was virtually impossible to find at that time any grant funding or any donors who shared our mission. We have really had to wait for society to become educated about young stroke to enable us to really grow in the way that we had envisioned. And the education was necessary for both the public as well as the professional community to recognize that young stroke survivors were a distinguishable population from geriatric patients. You know, there's a tendency to homogenize the stroke experience, but you know, for us, part of our message is that the experience of someone 40 years old experiencing stroke is very different than someone having a stroke at age 80, when they are many times, you know, in the prime of life. They may be raising small children. They're just starting their professional careers. They don't have the financial resources that older stroke patients may have. And so there's really quite a range of experiences and needs that make young stroke survivors particularly unique.
Yes, definitely. Thank you for sharing this. What's the best piece of advice you have received?
I believe that my best advice came from a physician in Charleston who told me once that there was no single path to success, so just keep stepping forward. His name was Dan Lacklin from the Medical College of South Carolina, and that has really resonated true, particularly when you are doing something for the first time. There was no roadmap for me. There was no clear path. And, you know, initially when I got into this research, I had so many voices in my head trying to encourage me to enroll in medical school. And that was, you know, why I ended up in this conversation with Dr. Lacklin. And he was saying, you know, just, you know, step back and just, you know, find your own course. You will, you can still be successful. And there's not just one way to do this. And so I would encourage, you know, other women, you know, to just be mindful of that broader message. Your path to success may not mirror someone else's path, and you may feel that your wheels are just spinning, but that's not necessarily true. You're just traveling a different path.
Do you think leadership in neurology values stroke advocacy? And if yes, how?
I think there is a tremendous opportunity for the inclusion of more patient voices, more patient voices in policy and in practice discussions worldwide. In most instances, I serve in roles where I am seldom surrounded by peer survivors, and I think that It will take some intentional actions by clinicians to overcome biases and barriers for entry to bringing more patient voices to the table.
And in your opinion, what are the reasons for a woman's lack of advancement in leadership positions despite no visible barriers?
I think that mentorship is really key, not just from women, but from men as well. And particularly while neurology still remains very male dominated, we need to have mentorship from both men and women who are the current influencers to help bestow credibility to the work of new people who are trying to gain a place at the table. An example would be my coordinating Young Stroke 2015 as the first international conference. Had I not had an alliance with other men to help bring that conference together, it was not something that I could have done by myself, and it wasn't about not having the assistance of women. There simply were no women in the positions, in the key-making, in the decision-making positions to assist me. So I had to facilitate and leverage the relationships with a group of male decision-makers simply because there was no other alternative. And I think that even today, in many situations, young professionals may find that there simply are no women yet in the role that they are aspiring to. Well, that, you know, doesn't mean that you should not try to go forward. You just have to, you know, bridge alliances with, you know, whoever is in control or whoever is the gatekeeper for where you're wanting to go.
And finally, would you share with us your ongoing projects, future plans, and also your vision?
Well, first and foremost, I am very consciously trying to empower other survivors to be more visible and to speak out for themselves and for others, because it's only our collective chorus of voices that's going to really speed the resolution of our unmet needs. I'm also very excited about the pending publication of the Young Stroke Questionnaire, which is an assessment tool to assist clinicians with capturing the young stroke experience. And this is a direct result of a focus group that was conducted at the Young Stroke Conference 2015 that was held in Jacksonville, Florida. And so it has been a five-year process, and we are very, very excited that we are now approaching validation. And the last project that I'd like to mention is our support of digital communication tools, both for diagnostic and for rehabilitation. And we have been very pleased to have engaged young stroke survivors and their caregivers and providing feedback for a number of these types of initiatives.
Thank you for sitting down with us today. It was a really inspiring interview, and I'm sure we're going to hear much more of you and Young Stroke in the future. Thank you, Amy.
Thank you so much.